League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Wednesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. In this second hour in a month of football, it is dedicated to football. We continue our NFL playoff profiles, looking at all 14 teams, seven in each conference, that reached the postseason last year and what their outlook is for 2025. Of course, in the opening 2 days of the week here on TEL, we looked at the wild card teams and our first divisional winners yesterday from the AFC South, the four seed, the Houston Texans, from the NFC West, that sexy team, and whatever the nickname is for the greater Los Angeles area, in the LA Rams entering 2025. Of course, DRS, the Rams have a ton of upside and optimism entering this year. Today, we'll talk some more divisional winners and some teams that we anticipate will be there at the very end, battling for conference championships and a spot in a Super Bowl with hopes of a Lombardi Trophy entering the 2025 NFL season.
Yep, got to look clean doing it as well, because there is some news around the NFL shaking up the lines right now, Ben. Do you want to get there now? Do you want to have some fun with this? Do you want a little fashion police, fashionista look?
I do might think take a whole we hour need a fashion police. Yeah. But I think we might want to wait on it so we can see the graphic.
It's hot.
Right?
It's hot.
That was just tweeted out or shared out by the Commanders themselves. That way we can see what you are describing. And I think we should wait and give our guys behind the scenes and our outstanding graphics producer, Jesse Metzger, maybe a minute to just turn that around, DRS. Does that work by you?
I don't,
we start playoff profiles?
Can you handle the Ravens this segment while I sort of tune up on this laundry list of items I have here for True Laundry? Do you want to handle the Ravens yourself here while I get loosened up in the bullpen right now?
I would. I love the shoulder shimmy. It's always a beautiful thing here on a morning show on Sports Grid. I would also just ask maybe for a little bit of contribution. A lot of time to all talk by myself.
I got you.
If you're not here. You. Yeah, so just keep it in the back of the mind. I think to start our next segment, we've got a long break here at the end of this opening segment of our second hour as well. We should be able to get into Donnie's fashion police for around the nation's capital. Speaking of the greater DMV, let's go to Baltimore and the Charm City. The Ravens last year, DRS, winning the AFC North for a second consecutive year. A 12-win season. And yet, they lose in the divisional round against the Buffalo Bills. That game in Baltimore, the Ravens had home field advantage. They had the opportunity to get back to the AFC Championship game to try to exact that revenge against Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City. They failed to do so. Multiple turnovers out of Lamar Jackson and an oh-so-costly drop and turnover out of Mark Andrews. But again, as we look at the Ravens this year, the outlook, incredibly optimistic. A minus 140 favorite to win the divisional crown once again. And to me, DRS, it's not the regular season success for the Ravens. A win total in double digits, the price to win the division. It is those postseason prices. Namely, to win the AFC, now at plus 370, co-favorites alongside the Buffalo Bills. And of course, even more important than that, the price to win Super Bowl 60 and that Lombardi Trophy. Co-favorites alongside the Bills as well at that plus 700 number. That is the expectation for the Flock entering this year. Not just the divisional title or getting back to the playoffs with a 12-5 record, to win a Super Bowl. Will Baltimore be able to capitalize?
Pound for pound, this is the best team in the NFL. This coming from a guy that you're looking at right now with Lombardi trophies in the background, loves his Eagles, but I have to be unbiased here, right? Because I love what the Eagles bring to the table. But I think the Ravens bring a little bit more. Said that, what are you talking about? Eagles are the best offense. I understand that. Look at this defense and defensive line. It is going to be a sack machine next year. But I'm not even like, yeah. Separate yourself from that. We always know the Ravens are going to bring the heat with the linebacking core, Roquan Smith and all the boys. Look at that secondary. Alexander, Humphrey, Wiggins, Hamilton, and Starks. You have that pass rush and that secondary. And then, oh yeah, maybe the best regular season quarterback in the NFL, Lamar Jackson, which means they will be on a path regardless of how tough that schedule is to possibly being the number one overall seed. So let's get to the offense. A quality, big, nasty offensive line. Lamar Jackson, one of the best, if not the best, regular season quarterbacks in the NFL, even Pro Football Focus last year, even if he's not an MVP, ranked number one overall. Yeah. The wide receiving core, Bateman gets a new deal. He's starting to be that veteran wide receiver presence, which you love. Zay Flowers, electric in the slot. Veteran presence coming over now in DeAndre Hopkins. And oh yeah, there's that guy still, Derrick Henry, in the backfield that you said, you know what? Maybe we don't value the running back position across the NFL, but the teams that had the good running backs last year, the Saquon Barkleys, the Derrick Henrys, to say the least, they got rewarded in the offseason for the hard work. Do you know what that means for them? Hey, coach, you want to run me up another 300 touches this year? Thanks for paying me and believing me. Let's go out and do it. So I look at this team right now and say, this is a team on a week-to-week basis in the regular season. If I'm an NFL coach, I don't want to face them. I don't know how you prepare for this team. But the questions that we always talk about, Ben, are not the regular season. It's once you get to the playoffs. But trust me on this. This team is built on all sides to win a championship. You're not even going to hear any questions on Justin Tucker. Hey, when's his trial coming up, or did he settle his disputes? They cut him. He's gone. There are no distractions left in that locker room now for the Baltimore Ravens. This is a time that they should shine, and I am really high on them. The question is, they've burned me in the past so many times in the biggest of moments. But I'll tell you right now, they're not going to burn you in the regular season. Good luck trying to fade them on a week-to-week basis. This team is stacked.
Yes, they absolutely are, DRS. And the win total is 11.5. And the over has a slight bit of juice at minus 115. It is the second best number in the National Football League, only behind the Buffalo Bills. They are stacked on both sides of the ball. Of course, they have the returning king. And too many who should have been the returning MVP for a second consecutive year. Now, Lamar Jackson has already won two MVP awards in his six-year NFL career. But DRS, the numbers last year, as you see on your screen, astounding, otherworldly. More than 4,100 passing yards, 41 touchdowns to only four interceptions, and flirting with 1,000 yards on the ground, 915. The numbers that he put up last year, far superior to his second MVP winning season in 2023, where he probably got the bump of winning that most valuable player for being the quarterback and really good on the NFL's best team. The Ravens were the one seed in the AFC and had the best regular season record at 13-4 in 2023. There was an argument, had it not been for voter fatigue on Lamar Jackson, that he deserved on the statistical performance and still the success of the flock to win the MVP award. Of course, it went to Josh Allen. But Lamar Jackson probably spurned by that. The Ravens probably spurned by not getting to where they want to be in terms of their playoff outlook. Derrick Henry, sensational in his first year in Baltimore, even north of the age of 30, as you see on your screen as well. Absolutely dynamic. To Donnie's point, the question is not what these guys are going to do from September until early January. It's later in that month, and of course, with the hopes of playing into February, because Lamar Jackson, still in his career playoff record, DRS, sub-500, and in the two biggest games of his playoff career, AFC title at home against the Chiefs 2 years ago and last year against Buffalo. Not all on Lamar, but costly turnovers in critical junctures of those games.
Absolutely. It's got to improve. He knows it has to improve. But this, the talent on this roster across the board, injuries will play a big factor as they always do. But at the starting line, this team should be the favorite to be the champions. Where they finish, that's what we're going to determine and find out as they go.
Absolutely so. And let's not forget, they're not a team that has the third best price hoping to get there. They are the favorites to win the AFC and a Lombardi Trophy. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Our NFL playoff profiles continue this week on the early line, a team that we discussed earlier this week who has a ton of optimism entering 2025, also has a new alternate uniform, but one that pays, of course, respect to its history. Coined the Super Bowl era jersey for the Washington Commanders. It looks a lot like their former jerseys, but of course, you'll see on the far right, it is the updated logo and the updated team name, just in case you were peering and looking for something. The Super Bowl era uniform fit for old DC, as you will see there. The Commanders will wear this uniform three times on Sunday Night Football, Week 9, Week 13, and against their bitter divisional foes, the Dallas Cowboys, Week 17 on Christmas.
Look, you know, as we evolve as a society, things can't stay the same. We've seen that all throughout our culture here, right? But understand this, like, rebranding of teams is a big deal. Whether you're just changing the color, changing the team name, sometimes it's hard to get used to. Like, you trip me up talking about the Athletics all the time. Sacramento, no, not really. I want to call them Oakland. Heck, I still call the Oakland Raiders the Raiders as opposed to the Las Vegas Raiders. Sure. And the same thing it took. How long did it take for the San Diego Chargers rebuild or rebrand to the LA Chargers? I mean, that was one of the hardest ones to absolutely go about. Now, also in Major League Baseball, the Indians go to the Guardians. Guardians is a terrible name. It's stupid, but you just have to accept it at this point. Now, throughout history, like, Washington and their former name, which was the Redskins here, was, you can't have that anymore. We understand that. But the rebrand of this team was embarrassing. Like, the Washington football team, I would pull my hair out because of how stupid that was. You can come up with a new team name in a matter of seconds and get that right. But the fact that they went with the Washington football team really got to me here. But understand this. The rebrand to the Commanders, I don't love the name, but it's just, you know, like the Guardians. It's a terrible name. The Commanders is an awful name. But understand this. The rebranding also included, let's change the uniform and go a little bit different of red colors and burgundy colors. The Washington uniform has been atrocious since the name change. One of the worst in football, the most iconic uniforms you probably have in the NFL, down to the bottom of the trash heap that you probably didn't even want to buy a jersey if you're a Commanders fan. And they say, okay, here comes the rebrand. What's your logo? Like, what do you go by? Like, you know, the Eagle helmet that they have, the Rams helmet, like they're the Vikings helmet. Let's slap a computerized W that looked like it was from like Microsoft Paint of the 1990s. And that's what we'll go with. Like, the worst rebranding that you can have. So the uniforms were terrible. And now I see today, you know what? New ownership comes in. Magic Johnson and the boys, Josh Harris. You got your quarterback. You have a fantastic head coach. You bring an electric coordinator. You have an ugly stadium, which in a couple years is going to turn into something brand new. It's sort of a rebirth in Washington that I love. Now, here's what gets on my nerves. You go back to the old uniforms, which are sensational here. You leave the stupid W on the helmet, which gets me upset. But you know what else gets me upset, Ben? Can you guess? Like, what would be making me upset about this beautiful uniform that they have? Can you maybe answer that question for me? What do you think it is? Like, what's getting me upset right now?
The only thing that I would think of, DRS, is the absence of an old logo, but you said that is not the case. So what exactly is getting you upset, Mr. Fashion Police?
Yeah, I'll get to the helmet and how I want the change to be made in a few moments. But here's the thing that gets me upset. Your uniform right now, Washington, sucks. It's ugly. Okay. It's hideous. It's horrendous. So they go, we're bringing back these uniforms. And I'm just looking right now on social media. Everybody, this is tremendous. This is amazing. You know, I'm not even a Washington fan. Respect, love that uniform. Get back to the basics at this point, right? And by the way, Washington, we're going to wear these three times a year. So you're going to have the suck uniforms the entire season. With three games, we'll give you with the best uniform. Those are the issues I have. The powder blues out for the Chargers. That should be every game. the Miami Dolphins old uniforms that they throw it back to. That should be your uniform, not the trash you wear now. The Patriots. You ever see them throw back with the little football player in the helmet? Oh, it is beautiful. Yeah. But let's keep the trash uniforms. Even my Philadelphia Eagles with, the midnight green women's Super Bowls. That's a trash uniform. The Kelly green should be worn every single week. Why do we do this? The most beautiful uniform you can construct and have in your hands, and you wear it 2 or 3 times a year. Why do we do this? Why do we do this, Ben? It upsets me more than anything should here. Wear your good uniforms. The fans want that uniform. Give it to them every single week. What is wrong with that?
Mr. Fashion Police Officer, sir, please. But this is the passion that DRS brings to these sports jerseys and uniforms that we see. I agree with you, right? The best uniforms, even if they are a throwback and we have tried to change through generations, through years, through seasons, and all of that, I think should become permanent. The only thing that I would argue, if I'm allowed to play a little bit of devil's advocate here, do they lose some of that special feeling to them if they are not an alternate and just every day? Would it take away some of the ceremony of wearing the Kelly green or the powder blue or the creamsicle in Tampa or now the Super Bowl era Commanders jerseys if they became the regular jerseys once again? Does that being an alternate and only a few times per year, DRS, heighten the special nature of them?
Now, let me ask you a question. Like, tradition-laden franchises watching it have. Let's take it to college basketball, Ben. North Carolina goes to Duke Blue as their new look. What? Believe it. And in 2 years, Carolina goes, hey, guys, we're going to give you the baby blue, the Carolina blue, 3 times a year. How about that? We'll throw it back. Why would you do that? It's the same thing. You have a beautiful uniform. Put that on. Look good. Play good. Fan base loves it. They'll buy merchandise out the wazoo, and they just want to watch it. Because you know what's an Eagles fan I do of the year? I love the Eagles more than anything. But you know what gets me more excited? Like, hey, by the way, that Miami game is the Kelly Green game. Oh, I can't wait to watch that game. Like, added incentive. Every day you should be looking at that uniform. The throwbacks should be once a year to something ridiculous you wore in the 20s, but get back to the basics. That's your uniform, Washington. Not 3 times a year, your uniform. Now, if you want to talk quickly about the helmet itself, put a spear on the side of the helmet. Scrub the W. Okay. I mean, put the Washington Monument on there. Put a tank on there for crying out loud. Put George Washington on there. Put Barack Obama. Put something different on that helmet than that stupid W. How about that? Man.
All open ideas, Mr. Officer is delivering for Josh Harris and company. I think the spear would be cool, like even through the W.
Beautiful.
Right, just a little addition.
Yeah, you have to kill the W. You get the spear right through the head of the W.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, after Mr. Fashion Police Officer Donnie Wrightside made sure that you knew all of his thoughts about the Commanders' new Super Bowl-era alternate, we get back on track with our NFL playoff profiles, as we will hear, starting with the 3 seed in the NFC a season ago, a team that has won their divisional crown 4 consecutive years and is favored to do just that once again in 2025. It would be Baker Mayfield and his Buccaneers. Tampa last year, DRS, 10-7, did lose to those Commanders in the wild card round, the opening playoff game, 23-20. You see the odds this year, even money favorites to win the NFC South for a 5th straight season, 13-1 to win the NFC, 28-1 to win the Super Bowl. Let's start first with the NFC South. We had talked about this division last week. The Falcons might try to challenge. The Panthers could be better in Bryce Young's third year. We're not expecting much out of the New Orleans Saints, who match the Cleveland Browns for the technical worst win total in the NFL. But in the NFC South, you don't need 13 wins to claim the division. You might just need 9 or 10. Donnie, do we agree that the Buccaneers should be the favorites to win a fifth consecutive NFC South crown?
Oh, no question about it. No question. Because, I mean, you do lose your offensive coordinator, which you've done now for almost like consecutive years. It feels like Canales goes up to Carolina, and now you see, obviously, moving on Liam Cohen to Jacksonville. And it's like, well, where do we fit in here? Well, you just trust Baker Mayfield that's used to that structural change, but not a change in offensive philosophy. Still going to have Mike Evans there. Still going to have Godwin. You draft Igbuka here. You have Rashad White in the backfield. And also, Bucky Irvin was fantastic last year for that team. You look at the defense. It's really sound across the board. And Todd Bowles is your head coach, who's one of the best defensive coordinators in football. Why not? Like, when we talk about sometimes entering in, do we love the Buccaneers? Not necessarily, but there's a lot less question marks on the Buccaneers than any other team in that division, Ben.
Yeah, no doubt about it, DRS. I would bet that price at plus 100 for the Buccaneers to win the NFC South. I am not confident the Falcons are even going to be a winning football team. I am not confident the Panthers can really challenge, although they might be a thorn in the side, and the Buccaneers should handle business once again. Baker Mayfield last year, DRS, just a sensational season. His second full year in Tampa, and he was lights out. 4,500 passing yards, third most in the NFL. 41 touchdowns, one of three quarterbacks along with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson to throw for at least 40 touchdowns. 16 INTs, but north of a 71% completion percentage. He had the fourth best passer rating of any quarterback that started more than four games last year. He was incredible. You could say, though, now it's his third consecutive season with a new offensive coordinator. Dave Canales leaves 2 years ago. Liam Cohen left, came back, and then left to be the new head man in Duval County. Josh Grizzard, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. I hope it is not Grizzard. Grizzard is the new OC in Tampa. He was the team's passing game coordinator, and Big Grizz has been earning accolades and praise from this Buccaneers coaching staff this season. Again, there is some continuity, although Grizzard was not the offensive coordinator a season ago. I do not expect to see a drop-off, and even if there is, differing from those outstanding numbers a season ago, I like the Bucs defense. I like the Bucs talent. Tampa wins the division, DRS, and probably goes over their win total of 9.5, finishing at 10-7 at bare minimum, I would say once again.
Exactly. If Baker Mayfield's healthy, he's got three really good wide receivers. That's all you can ask for in a capable running game. He should be able to excel once again. We took a look at there again, 41 touchdown passes there. Exactly what you want to see in a playoff team. Also understand this, they will be tested early. Their first two games are both on the road at the Atlanta Falcons and then at the Houston Texans. Two tough spots to play. Why? Atlanta's going to be really filled. Michael Penix, second season here under the helm, a talented team that finally brought in some defensive capabilities on the offensive line. That's going to be a loud environment. And then you go to Houston, where the expectations once again are high with C.J. Stroud and a healthy, capable offense with a really good defense here. Let's see how they make it through, because they'll get the Jets at home in week number three. Yeah. We're not saying the Jets are going to be a bad team, but hey, Justin Fields is there, new head coach, getting a new foundation. Right. If somehow they can start 2-1 before they take on the Philadelphia Eagles at home, that's a really good start for them. But that's a tough start. Yeah. At Atlanta, at Houston, the Jets at home, Eagles, and then you go up to the Pacific Northwest to take on Seattle, which I don't care what type of Seattle they have. That's a tough environment. And that team, obviously, in early October, the fans are still going to be involved up there regardless if they're winning or losing. Tough start to the schedule here for them.
It should be no stunner that the NFC South is not the most difficult division in the NFL. All four teams make up four of the 10 easiest schedules around the National Football League this year. But who has the hardest out of the four clubs in this division? Well, it would be that first place schedule that Donnie just highlighted in being the Buccaneers. Still 10th easiest around the NFL, but harder than its divisional mates. We'll have one final point on Tampa before we talk those wagons being circled. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to our NFL playoff profiles in just a moment, but a bit of breaking news around the NBA. Speaking of playoff profiles, none better than that of our reigning NBA champs now, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and a fun offseason in OKC with championship parades and big contract extensions continue. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the richest man in NBA history. Heck, even role guys like Jalen Williams getting paid as well. That would be Jalen Williams, J-A-Y-L-I-N, not J-W. The starter in the starting five, but another one, DRS, a rookie max extension for Chet Holmgren, a 5-year deal just signed that could be worth up to $250 million. Again, a good time to be a member of our NBA champs.
Yeah, and also, if you're reading the timeline right now, if you are Oklahoma City, that ownership group, they go, hey, see what they did in Boston? We're in our window right now. Anything goes wrong, we'll sell this team, and we'll start to piecemeal it off. That's the way it is, because there are exceptions to the rule where it's like, hey, ownership groups will go so far if they have a talented dynasty that they're trying to build. But anything goes wrong, and you're looking at, you know, as you take a look, right, the Jalen Williams, as you bring up here, you take a look at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, signed the richest contract, I think, in NBA history. Now you got Chet Holmgren getting $250 million. So you add Jalen Williams on top of that and then still try to build a roster around it. That sounds like the team goes, hey, got what I wanted. NBA is worth a lot of money right now. These tickets are going to come true in about 2 to 3 years. Let me get out while the getting is good right now and sell this team. That's probably going to happen in OKC. To the victors go the spoils, and also to the richer and richer contracts that you must pay on the back end. And now we'll see about this ownership group and how long they're willing to hang in with these massive contracts coming to pay just a few short years later.
No doubt, DRS. It is going to take financial investment year over year and into the future, but that comes with success as well, or at least maximizing that championship window and hoping nothing goes poorly from a health or injury perspective. Because much like the Celtics entering last year, OKC is already an incredibly short favorite to win the West and an NBA title once again. Plus 260, the updated price as of late on Oklahoma City to win a second straight Larry O'Brien trophy. That's a third of every other number around the NBA. All right, DRS, back to our NFL playoff profile. As I said right before the break, one final point on the Buccaneers. You and I both agree they should be the favorites to win the NFC South, more than likely will win the divisional crown for a fifth straight season. But you see, 13-1 to win the NFC, 28-1 to win the Super Bowl. Let's focus on that conference price. It is eighth best around the NFC. That is not exactly the most optimistic outlook. Sure, the Bucs can win the NFC South, but the odds makers really feeling they'll take advantage of a bad division again. But you would think, DRS, they were the 3 seed last year with a 10-7 record. You are in position to be in position if you can win a division. Did it matter that the Bucs had home field advantage? No, they were beat in their first round playoff game by the Commanders. But it's always a fascinating team where a team from a bad division is not given the best and most optimistic outlook to actually be a true conference contender. Is that kind of how you view Tampa as well?
Yeah, like, again, sometimes you're in your own fishbowl there. It's like, hey, we're the big fish in the NFC South. We'll get there, which also gives you an advantage heading into the playoffs. They didn't change it in the NFL guidelines here, and I'm glad they didn't. Yep. You win your division, you get a home game. You're probably going to be favored in that home game. You should win that home game. And then you say, okay, through that wild card round, which you're being, because I don't think they'll be the top seed here, and you enter into the divisional round, you've already won a playoff game. So what is success for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I do think success for them is winning a playoff game and then seeing what happens. Now, granted, is Baker Mayfield looking at it that way, or Todd Bowles, that organization? No. The ultimate is the championship, which they won 2 Lombardi trophies in their past, one with a great defense in the early 2000s, and then one with Tom Brady, you know, in the, what, just a few short years ago. The COVID, by the way, they went in the COVID year. 2020, the COVID year. So for me, success is measured differently sometimes to me. 10 wins on the season, win the division, home playoff game, win that. That's what you get out of the Bucs this year for me, Ben.
Yeah, no doubt about it, DRS. I think that positioning always provides you some value. 13-1 on the Bucs to win the NFC because we expect them to be there and at least host one playoff game. Now, value is different than cashing or winning that bet, which is a different story in how I would slice it up. DRS, there's no doubt that positioning plays a factor into how we view the Buffalo Bills entering this season. Buffalo, 13-4 a year ago. They won the AFC East. for a fifth consecutive season. You see the price right there, minus 260 to win the AFC East once again. The best price of any team to win any of our eight divisions around the NFL. They are co-favorites to win both the AFC and the Super Bowl as well. And yet, they have not done that in their five consecutive years of winning the division. But because of how they are expected, DRS, the Bills to steamroll the AFC East, is that why they are such short favorites to win an AFC Conference Championship and a Super Bowl Championship as well?
Yep, that's how you play it out. You can't, it's, again, we're trying to predict the Super Bowl champion going through 17 games and then into the playoffs. But if you just try to take it at its common element here, you look at the Buffalo Bills, are they a good team? Yes, they are. Are they the most talented team? No, they aren't. We just talked about, you know, a team in the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC that pound for pound will smoke the Buffalo Bills. Oh, Donnie, but they lost last year. Yeah, I understand that. But hear how this plays out at this point. If you are the Buffalo Bills and you do win your division and they give you five layups, right? You have six games, you win five of those right off the bat. You might even go 6-0. That puts you in position now even more so than in the past, where there used to be two bye weeks, which were fantastic. Two teams got the rest. Two teams got to wait on their opponents. That's no longer the case. It's one team that gets the rest. That's the big ticket prize. And the Buffalo Bills, forget about the team they have. Love Josh Allen, love the running back, got a couple capable wide receivers. The defense will always be in play. But if you are the top seed, that means the AFC Championship goes through your own building. So what happens? A worst case scenario, you're in a pick'em at home against the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship. If it plays out that way, you don't want to be on the road because you will not be favored at that point. The easiest path to the Super Bowl is getting the number one seed. That's why the Buffalo Bills are favored, because to me, I look at the schedule, which includes that weak division, which means they should get the one seed. Hey, why not? You tell me right now. I'll give you a hint. Like, if the Eagles get the one seed in the NFC and the Bills in the AFC, I'll take both of those teams to get to the Super Bowl. Why? Every game is at home, and they got the break that nobody else got the break with the rest of being that number one overall seed.
There's no doubt about it, DRS. And there's been some reshuffling of the odds by a couple of cents throughout this offseason. But basically, it's been Buffalo and Baltimore as co-favorites to win the AFC and a Super Bowl in front of the Chiefs. I have already shared why I take umbrage with that idea, given that neither of those two teams have been able to oust Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City. But that is why Buffalo has that price, because where they are in front of Baltimore is to be that one seed in the AFC. Plus 260 the price on the Bills, plus 350 the number on everybody else. DRS, when you look at Buffalo, they have the best win total in the NFL, 11.5, and the over a hefty bit of juice at minus 165. But here is the question on Buffalo. And it remains in this Josh Allen era. They have won the AFC East five consecutive years. They have had home field advantages in playoffs past as well. They have been ousted by KC four of the previous five. They have been ousted in the division round three of the last five as well. Will this sixth straight year of winning the AFC East and all that great position allow the Buffalo Bills to finally get to a Super Bowl for the first time in more than three decades?
Look, again, the odds on favorite would be if they're the number one overall seed, they probably should get there. But to be honest, like, it's a good offensive line. Josh Allen is a tremendous quarterback. And, you know, we're still waiting on Cook to get paid, so he's happy. But the question is, can he stay healthy all the way through? And the wide receiver position, like, yeah, we love Khalil Shakir. It's a great slot wide receiver. But Keon Coleman, who, you know, outside of his interviews, didn't really do much on the field last year. And Palmer is another wide receiver. Got a couple decent tight ends. This isn't the overwhelming team. Like, Buffalo, I thought, had much better skill sets, Ben, over the past, let's just say, 3 to 4 years with Josh Allen, and couldn't get it done. Now they just have a better chance because the division is weaker and the schedule is weaker for them to line up. But for me, no, I'm not taking the Buffalo Bills to win a championship. But having said that, they still should be that number one overall seed, which gives them a great shot to win it all.
No doubt, DRS, that positioning will be key. But much like you, until I see it happen, I will not bet it. Could it happen? Would I be stunned? Not at all. But until I see it, until Buffalo or Baltimore beats Mahomes in KC, I won't bet it. More next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It is time to talk about our reigning Super Bowl champions and the playoff profiles this week around the National Football League. Behind Donnie Wright's side, you will see two replica Lombardi trophies that celebrate his Birds winning Super Bowl 52 and Super Bowl 59. Will a third replica Lombardi be added at this time next year? The RS, we talked the outlook for the Philadelphia Eagles entering 2025. 14-3 last year, but still the two seed behind, of course, the Detroit Lions, who finished with 15 wins. But when it came to the postseason, nobody better than Philly. They hammered Kansas City 40-22 in Super Bowl 59 in the Big Easy. And of course, as we know, that score, a little bit misleading. It was all Philadelphia 40-6 as we entered the fourth and final quarter to win the NFC East once again, minus 135. But we have not seen a repeat champion in that division now in 20 years. They are the favorites, that being Philadelphia, to win the NFC at plus 370, slightly about a half dollar behind both Buffalo and Baltimore at plus 750 to win Super Bowl 60. The RS, you tell us, as the Birds backer and lifelong Philly fan, what does success look like for your Eagles in 2025?
I mean, when you've been to a couple Super Bowls the past few seasons and you won one of those and you're bringing back the majority of your football team, usually the expectations will be to go back and win a championship. But this isn't the NBA or Major League Baseball or the NHL where they go like, eh, schedule's the schedule, get out there and get after it and see what you can do. In the NFL, they tilt that opposite in the direction. You don't get as good a draft pick here. And more importantly, you get the toughest schedule in the NFL based on last season's scheduling. Why? You play a first-place schedule, and the crossover games are against first-place teams. And also now you're taking a look at playing the AFC West and also the NFC North. So you say, oh my goodness, like now you have two of the best divisions that you are going to play, and they'll compound it. The swingover games are against number one teams. Now, having said that, you do have Jalen Hurts, who's now taking the step in that evolution at quarterback from going, you know what, I was a good young player and a little bit green, and sure, I went to a Super Bowl and I played well in that Super Bowl, and I played Mahomes. We just didn't win. Yep. The following season was a fall apart, but now you said, you know what, I got it together. In the biggest moments, I am the best player. I just won a Super Bowl, talking as Jalen Hurts. I just won the MVP in the Super Bowl. You know who that other quarterback was again? I outplayed two times Patrick Mahomes, who might go down as the most talented quarterback in the history of the NFL. So when I go toe-to-toe with somebody else or another good football team, the expectations are, I'm going to beat you. I don't care how good you are. I've done that in the past. But look at the Eagles' offense, the best offensive line in football, a quarterback that just won the Super Bowl MVP, the best running back in football. You take a look at the best combination of wide receivers on two starters in the NFL. That's A.J. Brown and that's Devontae Smith. That's a great start here. Vic Fangio, who this team could not get it together on defense. They go out and say, who is the best coordinator on the market that the minute he gets here will automatically be a better defense? It was Vic Fangio. He was sensational last year. And you know what his number one offseason acquisition was? Keeping Zach Bond at middle linebacker, because he was the best linebacker in the sport last year, partly because Vic Fangio's scheme allowed him to excel from being a, hey, I rush the passer sometimes and I'm a background player in New Orleans, to the best player on defense in football. Is incredible. You know who was the number one overall ranked cornerback last year in the sport? Oh, he was a rookie, and it was Cooper DeJean. You have an electric secondary coming back. But having said that, I know how the NFL works. I know the ebbs and flows. Are you supposed to stay healthy the whole year? You only can hope you can do that. But here's the issue I have. I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles will get the number one overall seed because of how tough that actual schedule is going to be. The Eagles will make the playoffs. I do believe the Eagles can win the division. But here's what it's going to come down to last year. They caught a little bit of a break from Detroit, which you need along the way. A lot of injuries to them, but they were the home number one seed here. Washington put them off, which meant Philadelphia got to host the NFC Championship game at home. Isn't that the key ingredient? Who is going to host that NFC Championship game? And if I don't think it's the Philadelphia Eagles, I think that road is just a little bit harder. I'm not down on any stretch on the Eagles this coming season, but that schedule is absolutely incredible, which means it'll be tough to get that one or two seed in the NFC.
A difficult division, despite seeing a 7.5 win total on the Cowboys and the 5.5 number on the Giants. Both Donnie and I expect Dallas to be a ton better this year, of course, if Dak Prescott remains healthy. Finally being a playoff team or a Super Bowl contender at Big D, maybe not so much, but a thorn in the side of the NFC East and contending for a playoff spot. Yeah, no doubt about it. And because when you are the reigning Super Bowl champion, of course your schedule is going to be difficult. You are the first place team in the NFL, and the first place team in your division. Fourth hardest schedule around the National Football League this year resides in Philadelphia. But the optimism and the outlook is still there. Donnie, I would bet the Eagles are going to be back in the NFC Championship game at bare minimum. And if you were asking me right now, maybe not bet it, but pick the team that represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, I would say Philadelphia. Now, based on price, but based on the team I expect to be there. The Birds, unlike the San Francisco 49ers, have been to the NFC Championship game a ton in the last half decade, three of the previous 4 years, and they have won it twice and, of course, now won a Super Bowl championship. I do believe there were some questions around Jalen Hurts. Could he perform on the most significant of stages? He has answered those in resounding fashion. Now, the stats not overwhelming last year, but you did have those 14 rushing touchdowns. And Jalen Hurts didn't have to do everything. Why? Because of Saquon Barkley, who was rewarded even more so financially this offseason. Of course, the ninth running back in NFL history to rush for more than 2,000 yards in a single season, and didn't even go crazy when it came to finding Pater. Another win for the Eagles this offseason. The Tush Push lives for at least another year. Again, Donnie, my outlook for Philadelphia: back in the NFC Championship game, bare minimum. And if you had to ask me to pick a team, not bet a team based on a conference price, but pick a team to represent the NFC in Super Bowl 60 in Santa Clara, I'm going with Philadelphia at this moment.
Yeah, because again, you look at the rest of the NFC, and even if I say to myself, like, I don't know if the Eagles can get back, not because they're not good, just a war of attrition through that schedule. You played a lot of football games last year. The expectations are Super Bowl or bust, and a lot of teams will be gunning for you, no doubt about that. But then you have to pick a team that's going to knock them off. Is it Detroit? Two massive question marks at defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator. Is it the Rams that you automatically say they're going to take that next step? Can the San Francisco 49ers stay healthy with a lot of question marks at the wide receiver position and also Christian McCaffrey? The Commanders, who the Eagles shelled last year in the NFC Championship game, are they mature enough to take the next step? See where we're going down there? Because once you say, like, the Philadelphia Eagles, you don't think you're going to get it done, well, somebody's got to beat them. And if you don't like the other teams, hey, that's what happens.
More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We round out this second hour with a check-in on the championships. Wimbledon quarterfinal Wednesday continues at the All England Club and DRS. A ton of focus right now in the men's draw, starting in just about 10 minutes. It's world number one and the number one seed, Jannik Sinner, who survived earlier this week in his round of 16 matchup because of the retirement of Grigor Dimitrov, who was up 2-0 against Sinner in that round of 16 match before injuring his pec and having to exit. Sinner still advances to the quarterfinals. Well, he will take on the big hitting lefty American, Ben Shelton. There's been some conversation around Sinner's health, maybe an MRI. He has been dealing with a wrist issue. Late last night, DRS, I was just checking the odds out of curiosity for the quarterfinal round and how large of a favorite Sinner was. those odds were locked as some of that injury news started to sprinkle out there. They are back. They are open. We are about 10 minutes from first serve. And Sinner is still a hefty favorite at minus 315. But the young American, Ben Shelton, plus 250, is that updated number on a sportsbook that shall not be named.
Yeah, let's see what happens here with the American. Can we sort of crash the party over there at the All England Tennis Club? Would be great. And also, you have to, Ben Shelton's in a good spot because we don't know if Sinner is injured or just not playing good tennis. But that's great because what happens if Sinner, instead of like, hey, Dimitrov knocks him out because, you know, my injury, and it wasn't an injury, and he clean swept that guy. Like, oh, man, this guy's coming in a really good form trying to take you out. He's probably in the lowest form he can be at. So, Ben Shelton, no excuses, man. Go on, take care of business here and get to the next round, which is the championship round, right? We're in the final four, basically?
Well, it would be the semifinals coming our way on Friday before we get to that men's final on Sunday afternoon. Just quickly an update, DRS, what we are seeing right now in the women's quarterfinals on this Wednesday. Iga Swiatek looking really good on grass. She is just a few points away, I think, live right now as I am seeing it. Match point in her quarterfinal after taking the opening set. She is up 6-5 here, and it is 40-15. I do not know who is serving at the moment. Swiatek moments away from getting into the semifinals. Arina Sabalenka surviving yesterday in a three-set thriller in her match. And the youngster, the 18-year-old Mira Andreeva, dropped the opening set to Belinda Bencic. They are tied at two games all in that second set. Andreeva close to a $2 favorite entering despite being only 18. Andreeva absolutely hammered Emma Navarro in the round of 16. Our other men's quarterfinal today, DRS, Novak Djokovic looking to get back even further into Wimbledon. He is looking to get back to a semifinal, a hefty favorite in his match. Again, excuse my pronunciation of his opponent, Flavio Caboli, I believe it is. Djokovic, a minus 1,200 favorite. Some of those updated prices getting ready for his quarterfinal action.
By the way, yesterday, live on the air, Moneyline took a plus 124 price on Sabalenka to come back with a victory over Stegman, which she ended up doing. Now, I don't, because I wasn't watching it live. We're sort of like watching it through the computer, which is actually a lot more fun because you just look at the odds market and how it changes based on each point that's won. It was pretty funny to watch that. But watching the highlights, Sabalenka is screaming the entire match. Like, I don't watch tennis, but I just watched the highlights and said, this seems wild at this point. So, like, if I'm playing against Sabalenka, do I out-scream her? Or, like, I know, like, you know, like the golf clap, like, you had a real quiet and you can't do this. Like, do the fans get on her nerves, like, every time she hits? Or you'll have to scream every time she swings to sort of mock her? Is that possible to do that?
No, you're not allowed to do that while that ball is live. But DRS, in terms of the emotion and the enthusiasm and that competitive fire, Arina Sabalenka has it more than anybody else, maybe in all of tennis, but certainly in the women's draw. She is still a minus 130 favorite, confirming that Iga Swiatek did win her quarterfinal round. They are on a collision course. Sabalenka, Swiatek to meet in the women's final at Wimbledon on Saturday afternoon. Speaking of our first semifinal set in the men's draw, it'll be the American Taylor Fritz going further at Wimbledon than he ever has, taking on Carlitos, our back-to-back reigning champ, Carlos Alcaraz, who is a minus 580 favorite for semifinal Friday to knock off Taylor Fritz. And Carlos Alcaraz, DRS, minus 155 to win Wimbledon once again, maybe with some conversation around Jannik Sinner and, of course, the veteran Novak Djokovic still there.
And by the way, Joe Frizzo took this week off not to actually watch Wimbledon, to watch Challengers on repeat this entire week, getting ready for this weekend's tennis action. How about that?
How about that indeed? I'm sure he'll love to listen. He's probably watching as we speak. Hour three.
Yes.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.